Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Wrestling Rehab Up podcast. I'm your host, Mari Forth, and with me, as always, my co-host, my tag team partner, if you will, the Dominic Mysterio to my Rey Mysterio, Mr. Matt Scott. How are you doing, Matt?
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
You have to be,
you're my son. Okay.
Every time I'm your son. I hope someone photoshops a little graphic of, like, you know, you and me and like a baby. It's me in a baby carriage pushing me around. If they can figure out how to work in some kind of wrestling event. Oh, my God. I might be the baby that Snitsky kicked.
Oh, my God. Please don't. Let's not be.
I mean, I'm not mad. I'm not mad. All I'm saying is it could work. But by the way,
Dominic Mysterio, I
crying at the bottom of a ladder. Sobbing, like, oh, where's my poppy? Okay. Happy to be here though, Mari, even though I'm your child. And honestly, I'm honored. I'm honored to be your child. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. This isn't a weird start to the episode at all. I think people, they get it. It's our thing.
Welcome, you know? New listeners, new YouTube
welcome.
Watchers.
Yes. Brand new.
To the beginning of this show. Oh, today, we're actually ready for you guys to see us in our full glory. So this time, no really weird pauses, hopefully, for the YouTube viewers. No glimpses of us in like doing stuff in the background that we shouldn't be doing because we didn't know we were going to be seen on video.
You say that like we were really doing anything that we shouldn't be doing. Like we were literally just sitting here, thankfully.
Yes. I'm just letting the viewers know that we are now fully aware that we are on camera and being watched.
We are fully aware. So look at us. And by the way, watch the YouTube version of this podcast and share it with a friend. Why not? Isn't it so much better when you get to see our faces, all these reactions? Probably. I mean, I don't know.
I've been watching a lot of Pose and Legendary, so.
Yeah, but I haven't been like practicing my posing. I'm always serving face. So, I mean, I don't even need to do the hand motions, but if you want to see them, they're on YouTube. Yeah. And yeah, I think one thing that's cool about us being on YouTube is just that people could kind of feel like they're joining in on the fun and get all of our ridiculous reactions, because last episode, especially after like 2 months off, we were just going off. And so, check that out, share with a friend and like it and all the other YouTube-y things, because we're not YouTube.
Whatever you do on YouTube, do it so we get more views, because we don't know. We're new here, so feel free. Matt, we got a lot of news out of the way last week. It was great getting back like in the swing of things. This episode will still be kind of different from our normal ones because, again, we have no guests. I know people who are listeners of us and who listen to our season one are probably like, where are all the guests?
Yeah, because they like the guests better than us. We can't blame you, but I mean, sorry, they're coming soon. And by the way, I will say, like, yeah, to your point, things are a little bit different. We're leading into Hell in the Cell. Last week was our episode back. Definitely let us know, by the way, still, if you had feedback on the episode. We're not used to diving into all of the news. I had a lot of fun, especially thinking about Triple H and talking about him. And I, by the way, I do think maybe Vince McMahon was listening to this podcast.
But Vince does not listen to this podcast. How many times do I have to tell you that? He does not listen to us.
You don't know that. He can probably pull us up on his 2008 flip phone.
No.
Podcasts could be listened to anywhere. So you don't know.
Now we're on YouTube, so maybe
he does. He probably doesn't know what YouTube is. Let's not. Yeah. He knows what the WWE Network is. But,
exactly. There was a little bit more I did hear about this week that I wanted to just talk about briefly. But they're saying that SummerSlam is supposed to be huge this year. They had Stephanie McMahon was quoted as saying, like, there's going to be big surprises at SummerSlam this year because, you know, with the pandemic and everything, WrestleMania was the first time with all the with people back in attendance. We kind of talked about that. Mm-hmm. Money in the Bank will be, I think, the first time it'll be a full arena. And then after that, I said we were ready for YouTube. And here we go. Dogs of YouTube.
People love dogs.
Next
time your dog's going to be on the podcast and we'll see the listens maybe we'll see the listens plummet, but the views go through the roof.
There you go.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
shout out to Sea Dog.
who just recently changed his name. It's okay though. SummerSlam will be in Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. Right. And so it's going to be like packed capacity. It's kind of they're looking at it to be like the relaunching of everything and the quote getting back to normal type of show. So the rumors are they're going to be bringing in lots of big names back in order to not only sell those tickets, but to kind of like hard reboot everything and get people back into the product. So some of the names being thrown around, or should I say, these names have kind of been soft, like actually like confirmed. The Bella Twins. The Bella Twins may be coming back to WWE. Matt, what do you think about that?
What's just weird to me, is my head, and I didn't even think about this before talking about this, but they've had so many special returns over the last, how many? Because they even were gone, I don't know if it was 10 years ago that they like initially kind of left the company and then they came back.
10 years ago, they left the company, sir? What do you mean?
I don't know. Time. They left.
I think you're thinking about 2018.
No.
So they was when before they came back that second time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
When did they leave before that?
They left in 2016, right after
almost 10 years. My math isn't the best. I'm sorry. I need a calculator. Yeah. We'll work on using our podcast money to buy me a calculator. But anyway, I'm excited. I'm kind of excited about the Bellas coming back just because I think over time for me, and I hope for a lot of the fan base that, I know for me, my love of them has grown over time. My appreciation of them has grown over time. They've gotten a lot better. I think the last couple of times that we've kind of seen them in the WWE or the last runs that they've had, they've just they've done a great job with their in-ring work and really proving that they're not the Bella Twins that people talked about and just kind of like scoffed at earlier on in their careers. And then you look at the empire that they've built with E, and this is only a good thing for WWE. And I think I hope that not too many people are upset about this. I think if anyone is, they're maybe not seeing like the bigger picture of these are like true crossover stars. Like my sister has watched like the Total Divas, Total Bellas franchises and doesn't watch wrestling. And a lot of people are like that. So I'm happy about that. And I hope that could be a way to elevate some other stars. We talked even around WrestleMania about Bayley and that moment, the celebrities or the Hall of Famer spot, really. And I'm curious to see where the Bellas plug in and if it's like a long-term type of storytelling thing, or if it's just like kind of story of the summer, SummerSlam, and then gone type of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't really need to repeat that. We've been on this podcast saying how much we think the Bellas have done for wrestling. And I just go back to when I first got back into wrestling back around 2015 time. And we went to the Raw after SummerSlam in Brooklyn. And I wanted a Team Bad shirt. There was not a Team Bad shirt on sale. I was pissed. I was angry. But you know what I did see on sale? Bella merch. You know what I saw in that arena? Nothing but Bella merch. Like whole arena was all red because that's how big of an
impact everything
really had. Like, we'll get to that. but yeah, so they do. They have a big impact. So them coming back, it has to be to get those tag titles. I mean, to get those tag titles. And Natalya and Tamina are holding them right now. So that is such a good built-in story. Yes, Matt. Yes. It's such a good built-in story for them to take the belts off of them.
I love it. So. I love it. I love this. I love this. And I love like if anyone knows, going back, you mentioned Team Bad. So they were already involved in that Tamina. That's my way of linking Tamina to the Bellas. You get it. But obviously with Natty, there's just so much of the history and it crosses over. It crosses over to E. And so, wait, Mari, I need to cool down. I need to cool down.
You're excited.
Rieka. I'm just like, I like a good match. I like a good story. And I didn't think I was as excited for it as I am right now. This is my peak excitement. And hopefully it only goes up from here.
And like you said, we had the Team Bellas versus Team Bad versus Team PCB back in 2015, and then PCB went on to win the SummerSlam match, which then gave Charlotte the right to face Nikki for the championship.
Right.
Nikki beat the Divas Championship and Charlotte took the belt from her at the end of 2015, right? And so and then that's when Nikki went off to have the neck surgery and all of that. And then her and Brie came back early 2018, I think it was, when they came back. It went kind of bad for Brie, but was it 2018?
See, this is where, I feel like they...
Or did they leave in 2018?
No, Mari, look. We know Google is
trying to give
friend.
History. I know,
that Google's our friend. And this is what I was thinking about with the Bellas, because I'm like, it does feel like 10 years ago that they left.
Yeah.
So basically in 20, believe it or not, the first time that they left was like 2012. And then they came back in 2013. I don't know if they actually like left the company, but Wikipedia is telling me it's the return to WWE. So I'm going to assume that's what happened. I can't believe that Total Divas started around 2013, 2014. Again, what is time? And then they obviously they've had some like coming and going type of things. But they've kind of been in this like slot of.
They've been part-timers for a while, but you kind of don't realize it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no. And also, I think their best runs have been their more recent runs in terms of the last 4 years, I would say.
Nikki's run on SmackDown was so freaking good.
Oh, my God. I don't know if it was her match with I think it was
with Natty and Carmella.
With Natty. I remember,
Natty. That it's came off amazing. The heels of the Carmella feud, which led into the Maryse feud, which led into the WrestleMania.
See, I'm almost nervous though. That's funny. That's cute. I think it's funny that on their Wikipedia page that the build heights is just one height because they're the same height, allegedly. You know how twins are. Sometimes they're not the same exact height. So maybe it's a lie, but. Anyway, I don't want to talk too highly of the Bella twins because people might think I don't want to get dragged by people who will talk about like the downside of them and how they weren't the best. They're great now. And I'm really thankful for that. And I'm glad that we're like on the same page about how great they are in this day and age.
Again, go check out season one where we talk about the differences between how women who botch are treated differently than women who botch. And honestly, any new YouTube viewers who have a problem with that, hello, hi, this is who we are. So,
girl, bye. But you know what? That meant so many different things we could go. Yeah. Weren't they just pregnant?
Yeah, which is right. Yes, exactly.
When did when did they give birth?
Like more, but the I want to say they gave birth during the pandemic. So I think their babies are at least pushing a year or two, a year and a half. They're not fresh.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm very sure about that. Yeah, do the Google.
Speaking of fresh babies. Yeah, like speaking of fresh babies. We have to move on.
That people are speculating is coming back is Becky Lynch. So if you want to talk about a fresh baby, Becky Lynch just gave birth in December and people have been rushing her return since she gave birth. And let me just say, as a mother.
I get very uncomfortable still when people talk about her coming back. Cause I'm just like, give her some time. Like, I know some people who've had birth injuries and that type of thing too. It's like, just give her some space. People were talking about her returning. I mean, definitely while she was still pregnant, but like a month after there were rumors let Becky rest. She's still going to be the man when she comes back.
They said she was going to be at the Royal Rumble. Y'all, she had given birth like in the middle of December, and y'all were thinking she was going to come back for the Royal Rumble. Y'all need to stop. This is what this is why this undue pressure for women to give birth and then immediately return to work is annoying, especially in her line of work where she doesn't have to be there. She's getting paid no matter what because at least her contract covers that. I would assume, should I say, because she's one of the top earners. So there's no way she's not getting paid while she's on leave. But also. Her job is so physically demanding. When I tell you, after I gave birth, I could barely walk from like the bed to the bathroom for like a month, let alone go in a ring and take bumps and run back and forth. Like y'all are crazy. Y'all are crazy for that. So
that's right.
If Becky comes back, good. If not, I mean, people are saying it because she's in the gym and stuff like that. But again, after you give birth, some women have to go and start training again in order to recover from the birthing process, you know? So, she's just a fit person to begin with. So let's just be open when she comes back. She comes back. Let's not rush her. Take your time, Becky.
But that's the thing. Like everything we as wrestling fans often, we just want what we want and we want it now. And I think that this is an example of that, except it's just more glaring because of all of the reasons that you just said. We love Becky Lynch, but also at the same time, I think that we'll still, based on how Becky went out, especially, we will still, and the fans will still be like red hot when Becky's back, whenever that is. I honestly don't. I mean, we'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting because the fans will be back in attendance. So it could be really great to have Becky back from that perspective. But there's so much talent. And we were talking about that with the releases last week. There's so much talent. And I just kind of feel maybe give it some more time. But hey, I don't care. If Becky wants to come back, come back. Do what you want. But no obligation. I just feel like there's like the added pressure. There's the added pressure every time someone talks about it. And I'm sure, I don't know how much she's looking at her comments, but I'm sure that like half of them are like, when are you coming back? When are you coming back? Becky Lynch is not going to respond to you in the comments about when she's coming back. But please stop. Please give her the space and just let it be a surprise and we'll love it and we'll enjoy it anyway. But man, I have seen the pictures of like how I was going to say how jacked she is, but she's really so fit again.
Yeah. Man, I love some Becky Lynch. Yeah. We also have rumors of not only Brock Lesnar returning, but also John Cena. So the rumors are Brock
we haven't really talked about Brock Lesnar yet, have we?
No, because I don't think he's been gone since we've been.
I can't wait.
So they're saying maybe Brock versus Bobby and John Cena versus Roman, which, I mean, those sound like two very high profile matches. Like, that sounds like something I want to watch. Now, you still got to tell a story. I appreciate stories. I don't just like the, you know, the dream matches. Seeing Brock versus Bobby would be really good, but I've never been a fan of Brock coming back and automatically beating somebody for the title. Like, that's been done so many times that I'm just like, please not.
I don't think that's what, that would just be really, I don't know why it feels really strange now, but I just feel like it'd be really strange. I don't feel like it's going to happen one day.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we saw that happen for the last time. I really like Brock Lesnar. I just, like, I've always feared him, and I like wrestlers. We were talking about New Jack last week, and like, rest in peace, New Jack. Like, I just love a wrestler where I know what's going on, but I also don't want to like come across you anywhere. So, because it's just like, you're so legit. And I feel like that with Brock, he's just kind of, he gives off those little bit scary vibes. John scary Cena, vibe. By the way, is scary in different ways. Total Diva on Total Divas. He was like,
man, let's talk about it.
Here are my house rules, Nikki. you better follow them. Please don't leave your clothes on the floor.
So weird. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. But John Cena versus Roman. Okay. John Cena versus Roman. It. I would love that. I would love that they would build it up like John Cena's coming back. He's going to beat the title. It's going to be great. It's going to be SummerSlam crowning. And then Roman just annihilates him. That's what I would want. That's what I would personally want. And we've seen Roman versus Cena before at SummerSlam. I'm pretty sure it was at SummerSlam. And then we had it again at Clash of Champions when that their last passing the torch thing.
I just remember
it being in the back end of the year, and it felt really weird that it was in the back end of the year as opposed to like a WrestleMania or something,
or like with the build leading up to
exactly. There wasn't but much also, build, it was just them going back and forth,
but really it feels brand new to me. It feels brand new because Roman as a heel, and I mean, I don't know how John Cena's hair is doing. Some of the last times we've seen him, it's just like, get it. Just get the buzz cut, bro. Please.
Please.
Please. Let it go. Let it go.
We're on YouTube. Do not get us demonetized. So that's what they're saying.
I can't sing anymore? Okay.
You can't sing anymore. So
watch.
Those might be good matches. Like, either way, all of these rumors have been really cool. I just like the idea that they're really gearing up for SummerSlam. It makes what we're trying to do going to be like easier, because normally this is kind of that time of the year where it's like, anything can go. They're trying new things. You know, this time of the year, it's kind of like experimental in a sense. So if they're making an effort to be like, oh no, we're putting all of our eggs in the SummerSlam basket, hopefully that means these next few weeks of us covering will be amazing. You know what I'm saying?
Who am I kidding? I was going to say, I'm going to make a prediction, but I'm just going to say, I'll put out a wish that Vince McMahon, thank you for listening in on your track phone, and we really appreciate it. But no, I want this to be like the best wrestling or the most fun wrestling we watch, because when I think back, like, Mari, we had fun covering everything leading up to Mania, and that was great earlier this year. But if I really think about it, like, there's just a lot of stuff that we didn't need or want. And but I think we had fun. Now, give us more of what we want. Give us some stories, and I'll be excited for it. But I think my hope is that because the fans are coming back, and because they're trying to sell those tickets, and because we're out of the pandemic, and because it's the summer, you know, WWE loves their storylines of the summer, that we're going to get something hot and just kind of like, I think we're going to see something pretty magical.
I agree. And I don't know, did we talk about this? I cannot remember, but Cardi B's song Up is the song of SummerSlam.
It is. It is. Yes.
We did talk about this. Yes, we did. Yes, we did. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited. I hope they get Cardi B again. I just hope that we get Cardi B. So
who do you want Cardi B in a match with, Mari?
I do not want Cardi B in a match.
No, what do you mean? Okay, Mari, please entertain me here and entertain our listeners, because they are the people of YouTube. Definitely love Cardi B. I'm sure she has tens of millions of views on every single video, if not hundreds. So here's my question. Who would you like to see Cardi B after all of the 2 months of training that she puts in, a la Bad Bunny?
Yeah.
Who do we need her against?
I would like to see Cardi
B. And which championship should she win?
I would like to see Cardi B versus Naomi. And I want them to like play fight for like 2 seconds and then just stop and start like twerking and dancing in the ring. That's what I want to see personally. So that's my prediction. So, that was great. We just had to sit there and talk about SummerSlam for a little bit. We said we were going to talk about it for 2 seconds. We went on for a long time. That's it. That's what you're going to get here.
This is probably going to go on for 7 hours. Who knows?
I think we still hold the title for the longest.
We actually don't anymore.
Really?
Not anymore.
It's fine. It's cool.
It's cool. They weren't trying.
Oh well.
Yeah, by like 8 minutes, 9 minutes.
Okay.
Congratulations. Thanks. Okay, yeah. It's Pull also out? On the YouTube. It's also sure. Also on the YouTube channel if you want to check it out. But we're not bitter about not holding the record anymore. We need to beat that record at this point, because the competitive side of me is coming out. I mean, you know, for me, I was like, oh yeah, whatever, we have the record, it's cool, it's casual, we're doing all of the podcasts, give us our Guinness book, you know, all of that. But I think that we have to really go past 5 hours, because
I didn't even want to make the first record.
But now I have regrets where I'm like, maybe I should have just stayed a little bit more for longer. Okay, let's move on.
All right. So we have to move on. We just want to thank everybody who's reached out to us on Twitter throughout the week. We just want to shout out Trent Williams on Twitter. He asked us to talk about he has an article. It's called This Week in WWE. We will put the link to his article in our show notes for this week. Thank you, Trent, for reaching out and enjoying the podcast. If you want to reach out to us, join the conversation by hashtagging Wrestling Rehab Up on Twitter or following us at Wrestling Rehab Up on Twitter. You can also send any long form questions you have to wrestling@robhasawebsite.com. And, if we get your email, we'll read your email. Matt, where can the people find you?
You could find me at Matt Scott GW. You could also find me and Mari in Job Has a Squadcast, where all of the Rob Has a Podcast universe wrestling fans do their business. So if you want to know how to become part of that, just send us like a DM or tweet us. Like we'll work on hooking you up. We'll work on hooking you up there.
Yes. And you can find me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two. And you can also find us there on Stereo, because Matt, this week we're going to be doing a reaction podcast for Hell in a Cell this week, right? On Stereo.
Yeah.
Live on Stereo.
Yeah. Yeah, so tune in, check it out, leave us, or you can be part of it in case you haven't used Stereo by leaving a voice message. Mm-hmm. I laugh because we have, just please keep it clean, you know, it's not going to end up in the final podcast anyway. No one's going to end up hearing it if you, just please keep it clean.
Yeah, so right after this episode, we will be setting up the event for the Hell in a Cell Immediate Reactions podcast. So if you go and follow us on Stereo, you'll get notified once we go live. And we're just excited, because as soon as we watch the pay-per-view, everything that we feel, we're going to record it right then and there. That way you get raw, unfiltered reactions. Mm-hmm. All right. And then you can catch it later in your podcast feed. You can, we have our own podcast feed at the Wrestling Rehab Up. Wherever you listen to your podcast, please go rate, review, and subscribe. You can also find us on the Reality TV Rehab Up's podcast feed as well. So don't be stingy. Give us some 5 stars, okay?
Yeah, Please and thank you.
Yes.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, Matt. So we just saw NXT In Your House, that pay-per-view, our last... we just reviewed it. I mean, we did our predictions for it for our last episode. How did you think, like, how did you feel about the NXT In Your House pay-per-view?
It didn't feel like TakeOver to me.
No, it did not.
It just kind of, and it's funny because the first couple of matches I was really into, but over the course of the show, it kind of, I'll just flat out, we'll go through the card and talk about it more, but I just feel like the thing about TakeOver that usually gets me is that there are these like TakeOver level matches where people really shine, and it's like, what? I don't know what's happening right now, but kind of like Reginald this past week on Raw, like I feel like I'm entranced and, you know, really in love with what I'm seeing and getting a new appreciation for a lot of the performers. And there was some of that. There was some of that, but there wasn't as much of it as I think that, you know, at least for me, as I was used to. But what were your overall thoughts on NXT TakeOver In Your House?
So again, I agree with you. It really didn't feel like a takeover. It really didn't. I don't know if it's because I swear I keep getting surprised by these like takeovers now. It's like, oh, takeover is this week. I'm like, oh, snap. Dang, I forgot. So it didn't feel like a takeover. I thought they started really well and they kind of front loaded the pay-per-view till by the time it got to the end, I was like, meh. But it was like, but nothing about it was bad. Like, that's the thing. Like, NXT has never been bad. It's just when NXT is great, it's amazing. And unfortunately for them, they were amazing for a long time, a lot there at the beginning. So now it's just kind of like everything's good, but it's not great.
Yeah, I mean, like, if the worst thing I could say about this pay-per-view is that it didn't feel like a takeover, like it's not that this NXT, you know, show was not up to the standard of other NXT shows, like, that's not a bad thing. It happens. Not everything could be your best performance. It would, but I mean, we always hope for that. There were some bright spots for me, at least in the show.
Yeah, exactly. And I think most of it is, I like what happened afterwards on NXT more than like kind of the pay-per-view itself. So, I mean, kind of no surprise, the Fatal 5-Way between Karrion Kross, Johnny Gargano, Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, and I'm missing somebody.
Wait, what?
Did I miss the Fatal 5-Way?
Pete Dunne.
Pete Dunne. Oh, my God, Pete Dunne. I'm so sorry. Yes. It was Pete Dunne. The Fatal 5-Way itself, good. Hard-hitting. Lots of things going on. But Karrion Kross won. You know what I'm saying?
No,
and I think we both predicted that.
This is my, yeah, we did. We did predict it. And it's because, no, you're right. I mean, like, I don't think that's, my reaction was just to like, I had some problems with the match because they kept doing this thing where it's like Karrion Kross going over being this like dominant force. And you had Adam Cole, you had Pete Dunne, you had Johnny Gargano, you had Kyle O'Reilly. And to me, it's like a question of, what are you trying to, like, what are we going for here? Because it's in NXT, we haven't really had that guy who's more of the WWE guy, be the one who's the top star all the time. We have people like Adam Cole, like Johnny Gargano. And it's like, it's interesting to me that it seems like they've shifted from that mold of the kind of smaller, but really proficient wrestlers to having Karrion Kross. And, you know, I know you've never been over the moon about Karrion Kross.
Nope. But the funny thing is Karrion Kross isn't even that tall either, but.
No, that's the thing that actually bothers me because I just, I'm not like Vince McMahon. Like, oh, I like my big meaty men slapping meats. Like, you know, I'm not like that, but I do think like, I just kind of think to myself, if someone, you just need to go with a different mold in NXT than being the big guy, quote the unquote, guy. Because when you get to the main roster, you will literally be like, yes, you'll still be a big fish. You'll be in an even bigger pond and you can't lean on that same thing. And I don't think Vince McMahon and the creative team would lean into the same things with Karrion Kross. As they are in NXT on the main roster when he's called up.
Yeah, I definitely can agree with that. And I wasn't surprised. I was just like, okay, cool, whatever. The biggest thing that I did like was NXT on Tuesday, Samoa Joe returned. Like, what we got at TakeOver was William Regal was like, man, things are getting out of hand. He comes out to open TakeOver and it's kind of like, it seems like he's about to like, you know, quit, but like, William Regal has been the best GM for forever. He's been, you know, he's been there since the beginning and one of the best authority figures in wrestling today. So I was really like, please, please, please do not quit. Please, you know, don't retire. And so it looked like he was about to. Then Karrion Kross came out to kind of try and bully William Regal. I'm like, what is happening here? Like,
rude.
What? Right.
Don't do that to a little old man. Okay, he's not that little and he's not that old.
I was about to say, I think he's still taller than Karrion Kross.
Well, yeah. I know. And by the way, like, William Regal, I mean, I get the fact that he's been around forever and he was around as an active competitor forever, but man, I don't think people appreciate him and his in-ring work nearly enough.
Yes.
And actually, he was definitely before his time, but you know what? Give me William Regal versus Pete Dunne. Give me William Regal versus not Karrion Kross. Anyone else, actually. I just want to see him in there again. You wonder if he could do it?
Yeah, I wonder. Because I wonder if that would be so funny if he pulls a Vince McMahon and pulls the suit off and he's like, oh.
Has like, those little, like, he used to wear those little, like, they remind me of, like, really of Speedos. Because it was, like, the two-tone, like, black and red or black and maroon kind of tights. That's why I remember him. Ooh, the brass knuckles, too.
Oh, the brass knuckles, yeah.
Come on. William Regal appreciation moment right there. But Samoa Joe, he's another one where I'm just so glad he's back. And it was sad that they let go of him. And, you know, I get that he might not be cleared to compete in the ring, but what we saw in NXT, like we got some of that physicality and I, Samoa Joe's another one that I actually was afraid of, back in the day, back when he was in TNA and he was on this like war path going through and just destroying people as the Samoan submission machine. And, you know, I want that fire from Joe. I think even in WWE, he was really good. He had a lot of good moments. I think with Roman, he had some stuff going on too. And so I want the best for Joe, but I'm pumped that we're getting him back here, and maybe it will turn into
something.
A match.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Like, I hope at some point it does. I hope at some point it does.
How clear he is.
No, but like, if you really, I don't want it to be like the William Regal thing where we just don't get the return at any point, you know, but I'm sure that he wants to be back in the ring too. And I'm glad that he could at least be physical to an extent, and just kind of, you know, do something, because you're able still to see that dominance that he brings.
Exactly. So Samoa Joe came out. It seemed like he was going to pass the GM spot to Samoa Joe, but Samoa Joe basically said, I can't let you do that. So it looks like they might be co-GMs, assistant GM, whatever. But Samoa Joe is now Regal's muscle. He told Karrion Kross to get up out of there. I loved it. Then on top of that, Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly were fighting in the back. William Regal was like, I'm sick and tired of this. Y'all going to get another unsanctioned match next week or something. I don't know. I'm kind of at the point where I'm overseeing them fight too already. So it's kind of weird.
Wow.
I know it's hard because they're such good fighters, but I just like, it feels like we've been in a Groundhog's Day on a lot of this stuff. Yeah. So, just to that point,
and it's something that I've kind of felt with, we'll get to Lashley and Drew, but you would think that like, if you really hate someone, like if you're really going at it and you're frustrated, you're not trying to be, Adam Cole is not trying to feud with Kyle O'Reilly. Kyle O'Reilly is not trying to feud with Adam Cole. They just have this blood feud kind of thing, but you would think that it would escalate in some way. And I think that that's one place where WWE misses the mark. Like, lately, at least, they haven't been escalating the tension, which I think is kind of a, you know, that I think that's why we kind of look at it like, oh, okay, let's move on, because they're not taking it to the next level, and they could.
Right. And again, it's just kind of like, you have, it's almost like a bottleneck, because you have so many top guys down in NXT who have not moved on to the main roster, either because they don't want to, or, you know, that, you know, they just want to stay down there. But like, we don't have any work to kind of put them. So it's kind of weird. It's just, I mean, no matter what, again, from NXT, you know, you're going to get good match rates and stuff like that. And you're going to get like, just good working, like, period. But then it's just kind of like, how many times can we do this? We were friends. Now we're not friends. Now we want to kill each other type of feud, you know?
And then it's like, do you want to kill each other? Because again, this is more from like the Lashley Drew type of stuff for me, but it's like, I really don't like to see people who apparently like desperately hate each other standing in the same place coexisting, because to me that said that they don't hate each other enough. Like, I this is just one of those things. I do like how NXT is kind of having some of that tension still continue with Cole and O'Reilly, but We'll get to some more stuff when we talk about Hell in a Cell later.
Right. Exactly.
That's on my heart.
The good thing is, and what we missed here, is that Samoa Joe put Adam Cole to sleep. And it
of course
was
he did.
Glorious. It was amazing. It was the best thing ever. And all I was doing was yelling at my TV. I was just like, put him to sleep, Joe. Put him to sleep. Like, it was amazing. So
I need someone to Photoshop an image of Adam Cole in a baby, like in one of those baby bassinets or something. And Joe's like rocking the bassinet and he's putting Adam Cole to sleep. I'm trying to keep a theme going, like, Maury, from the top of the episode.
Like, you keep requesting all of these. Who is doing this Photoshop?
I have no clue, but I would like to find out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we also had the women's championship match between Raquel Gonzalez and Ember Moon. And again, good match. Lots of interference by Dakota until Shotzi came back. So that was kind of funny. Shotzi and Dakota are like chasing each other around the ring and everything. But again, like we said on the preview podcast, it just didn't feel like Ember was going to be like an actual contender for what was going on here. So Raquel retained. Glad to see Shotzi back. Like, legit glad to see her back. Hopefully, I don't know, maybe they'll go back for, they'll try and get their titles back from the way or something like that. But it was a good match. It was okay. It was all right.
Yeah, it was a really good match. It was a good, right, exactly. It's like if there'd been the story, but you know, in general, like I really appreciate actually both, I everyone involved. I appreciate everyone involved, not just Raquel and Ember Moon, but also Shotzi and Dakota Kai, because they all, like it felt to me like I was watching TakeOver when I was watching them. Yes. And Dakota Kai especially is someone who I really loved Dakota when I saw her debut in the Mae Young Classic back in the day. And I liked her a lot when it was her face run at first before she had the knee injury. And then, you know, I'm loving this heel stuff from her too. And so I'm just so curious to see how this all evolves with them. And I mean, maybe it's too soon to think about it, but like when these people are going to get called up, in Ember Moon's case, get called back up again. But we'll see. I mean, SmackDown is kind of light on the women's roster, so you never know.
I'm telling you exactly. Like, oh, I would love to see Dakota come up. Yeah. The winner takes all match. The winner takes all match for the NXT Tag Team Championship and a North American Championship. It opened the show and it was so freaking fun. Like I loved it.
And like, just to give you like a little thing that I really loved, because we kind of were like, okay, everyone, this match, we love them. MSK, we love. But Bronson Reed, okay, don't get it. I started to get it. I think I started to get it in watching this. And I really would love to see MSK and Bronson Reed together more, because I just think with, like, especially with big men who don't have something established, like, just pull out that personality, pull it out. And and the other piece that I liked here was that they were, I mean, it might be a small thing, but it matters. Like, the visual matters. And they were dressed, all three of them were dressed, Bronson Reed and MSK were dressed like a tag team. Like, they looked like they belonged together. And then they did a ton of tag team moves. And so I don't know exactly where they were coming from putting this all together, but I was actually a fan of it. And I'm kind of like, okay, Bronson Reed, I want to give you more time of day, because you're better than I even realized.
Yeah, they need to give him like more of an Otis type of character, in a sense, not to be goofy. I mean, not to be goofy, but to just show more.
Give a character. Yeah, not that.
Not new Otis.
At Mari talks too much on Twitter.
I completely agree with you. When you get these big guys, it's, you know, they're so tempted to just do the monstrous heel, the no talker, the come in, wreck things and leave type of gimmick. But some guys, especially if they're baby faces, if they're supposed to be baby faces, let them show their personality.
And even if it's like we'll see as it evolves. But I think like MSK with Bronson Reed's interesting, and even just the dynamic of like the fun people. And I know this doesn't seem to me like it's Bronson Reed, but like the fun mixed with the like almost like the straight man kind of gimmick.
Yes, where, I love
like,
that.
That works really well. So we'll see how much we actually get them together. But I really did like that dynamic. I don't think we will, but I liked the dynamic this time.
Yeah, on NXT we got MSK was kind of like, they're going back and forth with Tommaso and Thatcher. So maybe they're the next ones up for the titles or whatnot. Right. So either way, it was just really fun. It was a great, perfect opener, and so glad to see they retained. Actually, everybody retained tonight, right? Like, all of the champions.
I mean,
retained.
Except for the, right, exactly. Yeah.
And they crowned a new championship in the Million Dollar Championship match. LA Knight actually won this match. I was No,
I don't know what we predicted.
I think we did it. I think we were just like, I don't know. I can't remember.
I don't know. We did a prediction for it, but I think it was kind of like.
Either way. I know. That's what we were like, either way.
Yeah.
But LA Knight goes on to win. And the biggest thing about that is I say the next night because I'm so used to being like Raw, but like on Tuesday night, LA Knight turned on Ted DiBiase. Ted DiBiase presented the $1 million championship to him, said some really nice words, and then LA Knight said some really nice words to Ted DiBiase and then beat him up. And I was like, well,
I didn't know that man could get beat up. But then again, if AEW taught me anything, there are a lot of people who I assumed were too old to take bumps. Yeah. And that is just not the case.
Exactly.
I appreciate this could be the shoot one day, but I appreciate the I hate the term old timers, but I appreciate the veterans. Maybe that's the way to call them. Real veterans who are still at it and who could still like walk because you know how rough like those times were. And actually, when I think about it, Ted DiBiase was probably one of the people who was more of a like. You know, manager. I can imagine why. Not like going through physically.
Yeah. Demanding stuff. Yeah,
but then again, when I talk about that, I'm just shocked that Jeff Hardy is still wrestling, but that's a whole other deal. That was amazing just to see LA Knight turn on Ted DiBiase. And I was shocked because I didn't realize that he could like bump and do any of that. It's nice
Grimes.
To see him around. Oh, Cameron Grimes
came and defended Ted and looked after him. So it looks like we got a Cameron Grimes face turn, which is a-okay with me. I've been actually liking his gimmick. I loved his gimmick. We talked about it on season one when he first introduced being the new millionaire. And at first I was very put off by him, but they did everything right. That's how you tell a freaking story. Yeah. Tell a long-term story and have it pay off like this. And I'm excited. I hope if Ted DiBiase then becomes his manager to try and get the $1 million championship off of LA Knight, I'm fine with seeing like two or three more matches from them. So this is good storytelling. Right.
Yeah, and I don't know how the crypto game is doing. I know Cameron Grimes made a good amount of money. I hope he checked out and kept that money, but maybe he's looking for a sugar daddy in Ted DiBiase. And, you know, honestly, that this might be the time, you know, why not? Yeah, get that money, Cameron Grimes. And if that's what turns you a face, or if that keeps you a face, all for it.
Right, exactly.
It's like the $1 million man in Ted DiBiase and his son Cameron Grimes. Moving on, the other match that we had on this card was Mercedes Martinez and Xia Li. What did you think about this match?
Again, it's the match. Bye.
It was a match.
It was a match. Yes.
It was too short in my mind.
Yes, very much. I feel like exactly that. I'm thinking back on it. I'm like, I don't remember anything really, really memorable happening in the match. It was all after match stuff. Right. So.
But in my head, and this is the thing that I think really works about that match is that, and I don't think we talked about this before, but they referenced. Really, they were referencing the fact that Mercedes Martinez destroyed Xia Li at the Mae Young Classic initially.
Yes,
this is Xia Li's first match. It was the first match. And it was just like, it was amazing because then what you're comparing the match to is you're comparing the match that happened at TakeOver with that match, the first match, again, Xia's debut match. And I had more of an appreciation for Xia Li. I think the spot for someone like Mercedes Martinez, which I would imagine that this is something that most fans either pick up on or get, is to help elevate and help these performers who are like earlier on in their careers develop and to grow and to shine. And so I really appreciated this, but I also appreciated that the story is continuing on. But I mean, and Was there anything else from the match that you would point out or that you thought would, you know, kind of stood out?
No,
for me, it's just like that Mercedes like got up after and kind of, right, you know, she wasn't just taking it.
That's what I was about to say. That's not in the match. Zaya won. Yes, that was me being shady. Zaya won the match. But then, like you said, Mercedes Martinez got up and then like took a chair or something. Mm-hmm.
Chair.
And she started trying to beat up on Zaya. And then she called down Tian Sha. And then Tian Sha like kind of choked her out a little bit. Mm-mm. So now we pivoted from Mercedes.
Not into that.
Yeah. We pivoted from Mercedes versus Zaya Lee to now Mercedes versus Tian Sha, because Mercedes basically on NXT like called Tian Sha out, which is very interesting, because we've talked about how we like the Zaya Lee stuff, we like the Tian Sha stuff, but we just didn't know where they were gonna go with it. So having Mercedes across from this might definitely, depending on how where they go, like if they keep with the story, this could be what these characters need to get out of the mythical world and into the ring world and be taken seriously.
Yeah. And like, I guess, so, I mean, I bet a lot of people feel this way with Mercedes Martinez. The reason I like her so much is because she's just so damn good. And I've always known her to be that damn good. But I think the thing that I appreciate, which maybe it doesn't fully translate to a WWE context and how they like to present their women, but Mercedes like comes off as legit. And any time that they give her the opportunity to grab the mic, it's like, ooh, I felt that. That felt intense. That felt kind of real. And so I hope that this could be a good chance to like, I mean, it's already been a good chance to elevate Zaya Lee, but then to kind of bring in Tian Sha in terms of this in-ring competition. I'm excited for it. And I think it's cool because we've really been following this story from basically from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly. So go check out our season one. If you haven't checked us out, we are not on YouTube. You check us out on the podcast streams, wherever you get your podcast, the first season one of the Wrestling Wrap Up. Okay. So let's get into Hell in a Cell. This is what we're here for. This is the main event. This is what we are doing this podcast for. We're getting into our Hell in a Cell preview here. So I'm just still kind of stunned that we're getting a Hell in a Cell in June. Like, I'm still like shook it.
Really?
I was just like, this makes no sense to me. Like, first of all,
tell us
why.
Let it
why
out.
Are we getting? Why are we getting Hell in a Cell in June?
Why does that bother you so much?
I feel
like this is like a therapist couch or something.
I know, right?
Like,
I mean,
hopefully your therapist is not like, why, what? Accusatory. But yeah, like what's going on over there, Mari?
And the funny thing is, I'm not like saying like, oh, Hell in a Cell belongs in October where it always is. I'm just saying like, why are we getting it? Because nothing, we talked about it. When they announced it, there was nothing that deserved to be in Hell in a Cell. Going on, you know, so they then had to kind of stretch storylines to make it fit into a Hell in a Cell, and I'm just like, I get why.
I mean, I don't
in the back bank.
And to your point though, I don't know. See, I just don't think that they even did what you were just saying, like that they actually stretched it effectively, because
not effectively, but they stretched some of these.
They tried. Yeah. I mean, we're going to see a couple of matches in the Cell, but they could. I just, we'll get into it as we go along. But there, we want more. We want better.
And I guess the biggest thing is they wanted Money in the Bank out of June. They put Money in the Bank in July so that it could have a live crowd. So I understand that. And I'm happy about that because I do want to see a Money in the Bank live crowd. Like, Money in the Bank is a great pay-per-view to have a live crowd on. Mm-hmm. Hell in a Cell is not. It makes sense. Like, you can't even see anything half the damn time if you're in the live crowd for Hell in a Cell. So I understand it. It just feels weird, and I'm still shooketh. But the first match we got to talk about here is the WWE Championship match between Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre, which I am holy sighting as like the main thing that they stretched for Hell in a Cell. Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre have been feuding since February, since right after Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
Elimination.
Basically from that, from that pay-per-view, from the basically from when Miz got the championship. Belt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're getting this, and the only reason why we're getting this is because McIntyre, Bobby, Drew McIntyre, and Braun Strowman were at WrestleMania Backlash for the WWE Championship. Drew McIntyre didn't win. Bobby Lashley won. Braun Strowman is out of the company. And Drew wanted another shot. He earned his shot by beating Kofi Kingston, because at one point Kofi Kingston was inserted into the storyline, which again, we said they teased us with a Kofi run, which is annoying because don't tease me with a Kofi run if you're not going to give me a Kofi run. So Drew McIntyre got another shot. He said he wanted to be Hell in a Cell. Lashley said, okay, I also say if you lose this, you'll not get another shot while I'm the champion, which I love that stipulation. With Kofi, like we said, Kofi was brought in into it, and MVP for the last 2 weeks has been like trying to get into Kofi's ear, trying to like get Kofi head. To split. Yeah, from Xavier Woods. So I'm wondering, but it's in a cell. So what could Kofi really do if he wanted to?
You've seen Kofi you act like they like
how like, oh my god, it's a cell. See Drew fall off of us
off, he fell off the outside of us. Yeah. First of all, this past week on Raw, I believe Drew referenced this like very it was like a very safe bump off the side of a cell through a table. It looked like a safe bump.
Did he reference
he didn't reference that it was safe, but he referenced the bump that he took. I don't even know what match this was in, honestly, guys. He like kind of I just remember watching it, like it almost looked like he was jumping off like sideways, safe bump through a table. Which like I remember when I watched it, and I watched it back, and I was like, come on. you need to talk to Jeff Hardy and learn how to. Well, actually, no. I'm not going to tell him how to bump. This match and this feud between Bobby Lasher and cousin of Ali Lasher. Shout out to Ali Lasher. Rob has a podcast. You know, but this is the thing for me. So we have the contract signed. Which, by the way, isn't this like the 10th? Time we have seen them do a contract signing.
I'm telling you, it feels like it. It feels like it.
It does. It's not the first. And the thing that bothers me is that I was referencing this earlier with Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, but like, I don't want to see two guys who are in a feud that's supposed to be insanely heated face to face like that. Like, they shouldn't be able to stand each other. They should literally want to kill each other every single time that they are within reach of each other. They should have to have bodyguards blocking them from attacking each other. And I think sometimes in WWE, we've seen that story work out, where I think like maybe the Ronda, Ronda Becky stuff is a good example. Stuff is a good example. Like literally, I'll never forget. That episode of Raw was in DC, where they had like fake DC police. Like they kicked up. It was just a lot. I want that for these two, because I'm thinking, I don't believe that they don't like each other.
Yeah. Feud? Because I feel like this is a feud where Bobby Lashley is like, I'm the champion. I got all these hot women. You are an annoying fly that keeps buzzing around me.
You're right. It's more of the Drew side of things, because Drew talks about it. Drew, that's the thing. Drew should be the one who's constantly trying to go after Lashley, because to me, it seems like Drew's kind of been punked out a little bit. And, you know, we need to, you know, you need to kind of be a little bit more upset at this point, because he was I kind of feel like he was really upset when everything happened with The Miz taking his championship. And then he cut a lot of promos about, I'm going to get it back, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, give us more. I mean, actually, a good example, Sheamus and Drew, that feud was like literally a blood feud where they wanted to kill each other. I like that level of heat, but it's just not here.
I feel like
you're saying it's not this.
It can't be here. Yeah, it can't be here because they've been feuding for 6 months at this.
But that's my point like, too.
I get what you're saying, but I just don't. This has just been too long. I think even Drew McIntyre is bored with this storyline. I think that's the problem. Him,
we could all relate.
Yeah. So I mean, either way, no matter what, this is going to be the last time. And I'm hoping when they add that stipulation, like, oh, Drew can never get another shot at the title. I really hope Lashley wins. Like, I really hope Lashley wins here. But it's kind of weird that they just kept feeding Drew to Lashley. You know what I'm saying? So, like, what's going to happen here so that Drew can be protected in some sort of way? Especially, again, if it's in a cell and it's supposed to be the most secure place and it's supposed to be, you know, unfathomable for people to run in. So if I
had to kind of guess what's going to happen here, as we kind of start to talk about predictions and things, I feel like Lashley will win. Well, maybe not. I'll go with this. So I feel like Lashley would win because to me, it seems like they've been spinning their wheels with the Drew Lashley stuff. I mean, I actually have no clue what's going to happen here anymore. Because what I was going to say is that Lashley wins and then they move on to something else. I think no matter what, we're going to see the next phase happen. So it might be Drew winning and then they move on to something else. You mentioned Brock, for example. It would be amazing to see Lashley and Brock. We also might get Drew and Brock again, but that's just not as fun in my humble opinion.
Right.
But I think we're not going to get any more of this Drew Lashley stuff after. With the stipulation if Drew loses, but I don't think it goes both ways.
Yeah, but I don't want to. Oh my God!
No.
Win and then Bobby is.
You think that? Drew wins and then Bobby's. No. We're not going to get that. And actually, maybe this is where we. Oh man, I'm struggling.
Let me get my prediction out.
Please give us your prediction. I'm like thinking out loud right now, and also heavily caffeinated.
He is just going off top. I think Bobby Lashley is going to win only because I want to put that energy into the atmosphere. I think he's going to win. And I think because he's a heel, I think it's going to be the classic, like, just escaping the cell. He's not going to pin Drew. He's just going to do whatever he can to escape the cell type of thing. Because we know heels try to escape, baby faces try and prove a point, you know? So maybe Bobby Lashley escapes. Maybe Kofi helps him escape so that Kofi can face Bobby, you know, something like that. But either way, I'm hoping Bobby Lashley comes out of this because I think, I mean, really, they're telling a story with Kofi right now that if Drew loses, then Bobby can easily transition over to a feud with Kofi because MVP has been, you know, stoking the fire. So that's what I would like to see.
But I'm going to go with my official prediction has to be Drew winning. I don't want to see it, but I think I'll feel validated if I'm right in that case, just because for being right, even though I don't want to see it, you get it. So, I think the reason why I think Drew is because I could see them doing the callback to the Brock Lesnar stuff. And maybe like Brock comes out and destroys Drew after this pay-per-view or at the cell. I don't know, but to your point, then Lashley has a place to go, a natural place to go with the Kofi feud. And the reason why I think that Drew might win is because I don't know where Drew would go if he loses.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I hate that. I hate that.
You know what?
Your guy needs a title because he has no other recourse, then that's something you know, writing and creative needs to fix. But I see what you're saying.
No, I'm with you, but mm-hmm. I just kind of, I feel like when we talk about this feud, it just kind of like takes the air, the energy out of the air out of the bubble. It's so sad. We need to move on before everyone falls asleep. Or this could be like a sleepy time podcast. Listen to us talk about Lashley and McIntyre as you go off to bed.
Let's talk about, we are not on AMSR YouTube. We are on wrestling YouTube. Okay. So
add that to our tags. Let's go.
Right. So we're going into the Universal Championship match between Roman Reigns and Rey Mysterio. So talk about the opposite. I am so excited for this match. And the story is like barely there, but I could care less.
But I also feel like at the same time that we have these two separate stories happening, and then they very naturally came together. It was very smooth.
Yeah.
And I like that, like, we just had this moment of Dominic and Rey with, you know, the championships and making history in that way. And we're not really, we're not dropping that story. Then we have Roman and everything he's been up to. And like, I never thought that in 2021, I would be, you know, that I'd be excited for Roman Reigns versus Rey Mysterio in any way. But this is kind of where like their individual paths and where they've been, has been like so phenomenal that it just works. Like, as opposed to a random Roman face Roman versus face Rey Mysterio or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I like how they got here, and I like the two characters, and I think it's going to be really awesome to see them together.
Right. Yes. Them having character and backstory really aids to this match. But mm-hmm. honestly, I love when Roman works small guys. When he's able to work big man against small guys who love throwing themselves around, those are some of my like favorite matches of his.
As a heel, especially, because sometimes it just feels like when it's a big man face with a smaller, you know, it just feels like it's bullying to some extent. And so I'm into this one. I'll be watching closely.
Anyways.
It just feels like it, because it's like he has no chance against Roman. And then you have to cheer Roman anyway when he's a face. And it's like,
rather than outright bullying as he's a heel and you're okay.
I do appreciate the outright bullying, because then they could show the Be a Star ad right after the fact.
Yeah. So we got here because, you know, Rey and Dominic were the SmackDown Tag Team Champions. They faced the Usos a few weeks ago, twice during one night. And this Uso stuff, we talked about Roman and the Usos and how, like, we just don't know what's going on there. Who is Jay going to choose? Is he going to choose his brother? He's going to choose Roman. Such a good...
I'm Jimmy. No. I'm Jay. I like that. I know. I like... Oh, my God.
So good.
So this is the other thing that I really like about this feud, where it's just, you have like, again, you have the separate stories happening. Oh, but the Uso stuff, to your point, so good. And there's so much tension there too.
Yeah. And so with the Usos, like, they're in a flux right now, because
They are. No, so
Sorry. Yeah. So Roman decided he wanted to beat up Rey and Dominic at the end of the match that the Usos had at the end of the night, which caused the Usos to be DQ'd, which again mm-hmm. starts this whole thing where Jimmy's like, oh, he didn't want us to win, all that stuff. But in Roman doing that, he beat up Dominic so bad that they were saying that Dominic wasn't present on SmackDown last week. And full disclosure, we're recording this before SmackDown because we want to get it out before Hell in a Cell. So we don't know what the, you know, developments are for this week. But so far with Dominic, Rey saying Dominic was injured, Rey wanting to confront Roman, Rey confronting Roman only for Dominic to come back with a kendo stick and him, Dominic and Rey try and beat up on Roman. But then Roman, you know, turning the tables, beating up on both of them, and then just chucking Dominic. Like, Roman Reigns just, again, we talked about it, but he just chucked Dominic, and it was crazy.
Like a dart.
like a yes, like a lawn dart. And the Usos were nowhere to be found, right? Like they weren't even there. So
no,
it was just, it's good. And the small amount of buildup plus whatever they're going to do tomorrow is going to have me excited to see Roman and Rey in a Hell in a Cell. I mean, just wow. Hands down a match that was made 2 weeks to the pay-per-view is probably the one that I'm going to be more excited for. Like I'm looking at the card. It's between them and Bayley and Bianca. So yeah, this is great. This I think my official prediction, of course, is Roman Reigns is going to retain because this is just his war path. This is just a great war path for his heel character to beat up on one of the most beloved wrestlers of all time.
Well, that's the thing.
That's amazing.
That's the thing that I think is interesting too, because like Ray, there are points in his career where Ray has been red hot, and there are points in his career, like even after his return, I guess a couple of years ago at this point, he was just kind of like spinning his wheels even over the last. So I really appreciate him in this spot. I don't know who sees him potentially winning here, but I don't think that's the point. You know, no. I think that we're going to get a really good match, and I'm glad that it's in the cell. I'm glad it's in the cell.
Yes. And I hope they like push this whole Dominic and Ray love for each other, like type of deal.
You think they're going to give us something where it's like Ray just like has his fingers against the end of the cell and Dominic's on that side, like, dad. And then we get Dominic crying like he was back. Ooh.
And then Roman stomping Ray. That'd be so great.
I just
think
of Dominic crying every time I'm getting past it now, but like, I still think of those tears from back in the day with the feud with Eddie Guerrero, an icon and legend. We'll see. But this, I'm actually hyped up for this one.
Yeah, very hyped. Next up, we have the Raw Women's Championship, Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte. I don't think this is in a cell either. They haven't announced.
No, it's not.
Cell yet.
They haven't. They haven't announced.
They might not. Yet. Announce a women's cell,
apparently. Right? Which, like, I just wanted to mention after watching Raw, I felt like this is why I said I think Vince McMahon listened to the podcast and everything we were saying about Triple H and just like his thoughts on women, because this Raw had so many different women's segments. It started with I think the Alexa video package, and then went off to Nikki Cross, and then we just got a lot of the women on this show, which I thought was really awesome because we don't always have that. But then I was thinking to myself, wait, I don't want to give them too much credit because it looks like none of the women are going to be in a cell. And just how do you feel about that, Mari?
I really don't care for performative cells. So, I really thought that Rhea Ripley and Charlotte were destined for a cell. I think I'm on like a record on the podcast saying, oh, they did it so Rhea and Charlotte can be in a cell.
Yeah.
So if they're not going to be in a cell,
Yeah. I mean, so the thing that I just won't hold my breath for an outcome that we will love for this match, but I'm appreciative of this match from the perspective of that last segment we saw where Rhea put her foot in Charlotte's face, and we saw like there's always something about the blood, but Charlotte, I don't know, maybe we'll get maybe we want to get into more of the details before I jump here, but
Go into it.
Yeah. So, I mean, we did see them really going at each other over the course of Raw in there are multiple segments where we saw them interact. But what it ultimately ended up as was this pull apart brawl, which aside quickly, I just love how we get all of these wrestlers who like clearly we know, like Daivari was there, Hurricane, Jamie Noble, fun stuff. But at one point, so Charlotte is outside of the ring. She tries to climb back in. Rhea, boom, boot to Charlotte's face. Go home, Charlotte. And then Charlotte's standing on the ramp. And, you know, you notice her bloody nose, but then I swear, for all the things that we've probably said about Charlotte that aren't great, she slowly, dramatically runs her hand through her hair and puts, you're just looking at the bloody nose. And it, to me, that moment, I was like, ooh, Charlotte, you're milking it. You know what you're doing. You're good. You're really good. And I was about that. I appreciated that. And I also just like that they're acknowledging her, like, as a heel. I like that she's the opportunity, because in a lot of ways, like, I love what they're doing with Nikki Cross.
Yeah.
She's kind of built up. And so maybe Charlotte is the opportunity with the bloody nose. But how are you feeling, Mari, on this one?
Guess what?
We haven't really talked about Charlotte since we've been back, and there's been a lot that's happened. So, like, what's your take? I'm not ready.
I agree with everything you kind of just said, but the funny thing is, the current champion is also a heel. You know what I'm saying? Rhea Ripley is a heel. She's a heel, y'all, unless y'all didn't know. So why are we giving somebody who is not the champion?
She's kind of like a
line when the champion is right there. Like, it's just kind of, that's my only thing. And again, so we got what led to that bra was because we had Rhea versus Asuka on Raw. Again, we get Asuka fed to Rhea in another match that was not good. Asuka and Rhea do not have any type of chemistry together, which is just astounding to me, because I've never seen an Asuka match that didn't have at least some sort of chemistry. Like, I'm really, like, Asuka had good chemistry with Dana Brooke. So I'm really confused as to why their chemistry is off. And just because their chemistry is off does not suggest that Rhea is not a good wrestler or Asuka is not a good wrestler. Some people just do not have good in-ring chemistry together. That's just, like, legit. And they just happen to be two of them. And I just didn't like the match. And I was like, oh my God, this match is bad. Like, and so I didn't like the match. Asuka takes the pin again for no reason. Like, I think, like you said, we haven't talked about the buildup of this match because we were on hiatus. But the buildup is just so lackluster in a sense, because one, they're both heels. We know how I feel about heel versus heel matches or face versus face matches. They've had to introduce other women into the storyline. Like you said, they introduced Nikki Cross, which has been great. They've been building her up while simultaneously, at the expense of Asuka, who's been taking a lot of pins, who is the former women's champion, is taking more pins than the number one contender, who is Charlotte, who was not a champion this year. You know what I'm saying? So that I really have not liked or enjoyed. But in order for us to get into a Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte match, we're throwing everything in the kitchen sink at this. You know what I'm saying? Like, that, to me, that's not what a good feud makes. And even with they did this with Rhea and Charlotte for their WrestleMania match last year. Mm. Yes, last year.
Yeah.
When they had to include Bianca for people to get kind of excited for it. You know what I'm saying? You know, just for Bianca not to be in the payoff of the WrestleMania match. So I just, I hope Rhea wins, because WWE did this whole photo shoot about the new era of champions, because Rhea is a champion, Bianca's a champion, and Raquel Gonzalez are champions, and they're trying to push them as, like, the new era, you know, opposite of the four horsewomen. So if you're going to do that, let Rhea get her win here. Rhea has not avenged her losses to Charlotte, you know, from WrestleMania season when Charlotte won the Rumble and challenged Rhea. So if you're going to do this and you want to make Rhea a big star, she has to go over Charlotte Flair. If Rhea does not go over Charlotte Flair here and Charlotte claims her, 13th championship or whatever, what do you do with Rhea from then on, other than, like, what do you do? And that's the only thing why, and the reason why I just can't get excited about this, and the reason why I'm just more is because, when does Charlotte let people other than Becky Lynch go over her? You know what I'm saying? So that's why I'm a little scared. Like, in a one-on-one match, I'm scared for Rhea. I am scared for Rhea, and I hope she wins. I hope she wins. I hope she cements that she is the champion on Raw. She is the champion. She is the opportunity. She is the heel champion, and that she can then go and have a great, you know, title run to jumpstart her career, because people forget Rhea's debut match on the main roster was at WrestleMania, where she then won the championship. So we've given Rhea a lot. Like, Rhea's been given a lot so quickly, but also she hasn't, because she's still been playing second fiddle to Charlotte. So sorry, I'm on that rant and everything, guys, but I just really want, if we want Rhea to make it, she cannot lose here, I feel. And I'm not trying to, like, sound the alarms and say, oh, she's buried, because people use that way too loosely. But just looking at the whole history of what Rhea had accomplished in NXT, to then for her to lose at Mania to Charlotte, and it just seems like Charlotte is that one foe that she cannot get over. Like, that's not the story they're trying to tell right now. You know what I'm saying? If Charlotte was the champion and Rhea was chasing, then that's the story you could tell. You should not be trying to tell that story while Rhea is the champion. So that's just my thoughts on that.
I'll just say, like, again, I really appreciate Charlotte this last segment.
Yes, really Charlotte. Good.
She was, maybe this is just more of my thing, but she came out, at first we saw her earlier in the night, of course, like in her ring gear, and then she came out looking like a Bengal tiger, like in her bodysuit. Charlotte is really good at these, like, pull apart brawls, and I don't know what it is. Like, part of it might even just be like her size in comparison to the agents and the guards, and she kind of just like go. But I like that, and I always I'm always into those moments, even if it's not the right opponent or the right story. So that was fun. Just to like,
no, I think that was perfect for that story, because like you said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, no,
like
you're right. No, that's all.
With the Bobby and the Drew stuff, they don't like each other. So they should not be able to sit in the same ring.
Yeah.
So that was a perfect, they told that story perfectly, except for, like I said, your champion is not being treated as your champion.
I know. And then, like, just, I don't know if I made this point, but this is the one other match that I would, you know, put it in a cell, put it in the Hell in a Cell. Why not?
Right. You might as well. Yeah. I would have, like I said, I thought they were immediately going to go to a cell. I thought they were the whole reason we got this pay-per-view here. So kind of surprised it's not in a cell, to be quite honest.
It might happen.
Yeah. So next we have the SmackDown Women's Championship match. So of course, as a diehard Bianca stan, as a diehard Bayley stan, I am excited about this. So we get Bianca Belair, who's the champion, versus Bayley. And this story has been told in a way that I really like. We talked about it, I think, at the end of season one, but I don't think we did. Anyways, Bianca and Bayley have been feuding on and off since last December, if I remember.
Yeah.
So it is a feud that has been going on. It's been, you know, it took a pause once Bianca won the Rumble, because Bianca had to face Sasha Banks. But it came back on since Sasha has been gone, and it's Bianca versus Bayley. So it's currently not in a cell, but I like what it was. So Bianca and Bayley had a match at WrestleMania Backlash. In it, Bayley tried to use Bianca's hair against her. So Bianca flipped the script and used her hair to pin Bayley. And so when a face champion uses heel tactics, you gotta love it. Like, I love it, but it's also weird.
Well, honestly. I mean, but like, no. Cause it's like, okay, that's what you thought you'd do to me. Well, then I'm going to do this to you. And so I like it because it shows, like, don't mess with me, because I can't stand when a face is really, like, kind of punked out and then they don't do anything about it.
Exactly.
Bianca's like, been good. Bianca's been solid. Bianca's been so solid in terms of just, like, the logical decision making that actually makes Bianca look good. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think back, actually, the other thing that comes to mind is, like, during the Sasha Bianca feud, Sasha slaps Bianca, and then Bianca returns the favor and slaps Sasha into. We haven't seen Sasha. We basically haven't seen Sasha since that slap. She went flying into the Thunderdome, and she's still finding her way back. But no, I don't know who's coming up with this booking for Bianca, but I am thankful.
It's great. It's kind of like how John Cena was booked. Like, she's a baby face, but she's not dumb, because dumb baby faces would let heels constantly try and get the upper hand and just, you know, try and beat them with righteousness. But Bianca's like, no, I'm going to outsmart you. You know what I'm saying? So that's how John Cena would get booked. And people would be like, yo, John Cena is the heel in this feud, you know, because John Cena would do stuff like that. But anyways, I like that. Bayley then, with her annoying, obnoxious heel self, completely kept pointing it out. You needed to cheat to beat me. You needed to cheat to beat me, which is just such a great, like, they flipped it on its head, in a sense, the dynamics. And so because of this, Bayley has been trying to get under Bianca's skin and trying to unroot her confidence, because Bianca is very confident. She calls herself the EST. So Bayley has kind of been trying to be like, are you? You needed to cheat. Like, you can just tell. And with the laughing and laughing at Bianca, and Bianca's like, nobody laughs at me. It's Bayley trying to undermine Bianca's confidence and get into her head before the match. And the storytelling is really good. I think it's subtle. So some people might not.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say some people might not get it, but it, you know, it's just very subtle storytelling, in a sense, like she's just trying to undermine Bianca's confidence. And it's great.
Yeah. I was just thinking, like, that's where I really do. And, you know, it's not, Bianca's character is nothing over the top. I just really, which is great. You know, it's a great character, but she really clearly understands what the character is. And I don't know if that's because the character is so much of Bianca coming to the table or what, but to me, it seems very clear that Bianca gets what this EST character is. A lot of it is like, I'll show you. And that's like, I don't know. I just keep feeling really inspired by it, which is not a word that, like, I've really applied to too many other people. Maybe like the other thing I'd applied to was like the Mania match, but, this is cool. And I'll say with Bayley, it throws me off because Bayley is so good at being Bayley, at being this Sally Jesse Raphael character. Yes. And it is annoying. And it's annoying. And it's like, but you can't look away. And we saw the other week on Ding Dong Hello, just the whole segment. I didn't know what I was getting myself into with that one. But we got Bayley. Basically, what we got was Bayley and Seth Rollins just like cackling together. And I was not ready for that. I was not ready for that. And it's just like, why? No. Oh, I loved it. And then we saw Cesaro absolutely destroy the set, destroy so Seth. Funny. Somehow Seth ends up without his pants on too. I have to go back. I don't know how that happened.
They just ripped it. They got ripped off. And the funny thing is, when he was making his entrance, I turned to my husband. I was like, his suit looks like way cheaper than they normally are. Like, I thought it was like, it looked like it was going to be like a tearaway. Yeah. So I just love, like you said, Bayley, she's so obnoxious and annoying in that heel role that it's just amazing. Like, she's such a great heel. And I love every second of it. I love that she's an obnoxious, annoying heel, and she's not like a big brooding one. It just fits. It's different.
Yeah. It's also different too. But in the words of Britney Spears, give me more.
Yes. Yes. So we are definitely excited about this match. What do you think wins it?
Bianca.
Do you think there's going to be shenanigans?
There's always some shenanigans happening, but we need Bianca to keep that championship. Could you imagine Bianca as champion when there's a crowd? I mean, who am I kidding? Bayley as champion when there's a crowd would be amazing too. And I mean, we got Bayley really shined in the pandemic without a crowd. And I just, but I think that this is still
beyond the time. She also got months where she was, the months before that, there was
Yeah, but I really feel like, I mean, maybe it's just like the wrestling fan in us, but like to see her shine when everyone else was like, and Sasha, you know, when everyone else was fumbling and awkward at the start of the pandemic, especially, that was pretty special. So exactly. I think that I don't see Bianca losing this, in the slightest, but
yeah,
please don't shock me, WWE.
I know. I'll go. I agree with you. I think Bianca wins. I think only two things happen. I think she goes over clean because she has beaten Bayley clean before, but either Bianca goes over clean so that she can disprove that whole "I needed to cheat to win" type of thing, or do you think Sasha comes back? Do you think Sasha comes back? Because Sasha is supposed to be, she's on like, no. She's being advertised for some of the tour, the live tour stuff.
I don't.
Yeah. She's being advertised for it. So. Yeah.
Well, this is the thing I think about, like, okay, if it's this close, I think the debuts and the returns that they have to be so intentional. And I would really love to see, I don't know. I would love to see Sasha make a surprise return when the crowd's there just for that reaction. Because I know, sense. I mean, yeah, I think that that's what we'll get. Cause like, why would you have, I just don't know why they would bring Sasha back. Well, I don't know.
You do. You bring her back now for the surprise return so that you can then make sure like people are buying tickets so they can see her when it goes on the road.
Maybe that's it.
You're not going to buy tickets for if you're waiting for her to pop up.
You know, it could. Whatever. That's a good point, too, because this is like the point where it's like, let's start really building to SummerSlam. So yeah. I would like that. I'd love to see Sasha whenever we get her. So please bring Sasha back. Bring back our Sasha.
And we were talking about how SmackDown Women's Division unfortunately only has like six people in it. So if we're going to get Sasha, you know, comes back up, insert her with Bianca and Bayley and like a three-way feud for a while. I'll give me that. I'll take that as well. So either way, I'm going to be excited to watch this match. We both think Bianca's going to retain.
We do.
I can't wait to see them fight again. I just want to watch them fight again. And then finally, at least for the list that we have right now, we have Alexa Bliss versus Shayna Baszler. And, you know, this is the storyline that we've been talking about, how it's very, very polarizing to the wrestling community. Some people like Alexa Bliss's storyline with Shayna Baszler. Some people don't. We talked about it extensively last week. This week, Shayna was not on Raw. Correct me if I'm wrong, Matt. We didn't see Shayna at all, right?
No, we didn't actually. Yeah. We got the highlight package at the start of the show, but we didn't see Shayna after that.
Yeah, we didn't see Shayna. So what we got was Alexa Bliss. Nia Jax crashed Alexa Bliss's playground, challenged her to a fight. Then we got Alexa Bliss versus Nia in the ring. And Alexa Bliss won. Yes. But like it was some weird IDQ. Stuff with Reggie. Yes.
Reggie.
Oh, well, Reggie. Yes, I'm sorry. You're right.
That's the weird.
It was a DQ. You're right.
Because he went to Alexa break up was the pinning. Pin.
Yes. Alexa was pinning Nia and then Reggie broke the pin.
That didn't make any sense at all.
No, yeah, it didn't. And then once he broke the pin, he started staring at Alexa and they started like mirroring each other. Like he was entranced. Yeah.
There's probably
really weird bigger stuff word. Here.
He's really, yeah. And it's like, what? And I wrote, what am I thinking? For some reason, I wrote down Alexa's dark hand because it's something about that. I think it was her right hand specifically. She kept doing some things with it and just like twisting and twisting, it was just
she was
and she was also moving kind of like a Black Widow around the ring, which was different. I think Corey Graves pointed out that Alexa kind of was just he didn't say she was working differently, but she was working differently in the match.
And she definitely was.
I liked this match actually, and I liked, I guess for me, I didn't drag me if you want to, but mm-hmm. I wasn't thinking about Alexa and Naya and their history
right.
you know, in the context Same. Of, because I don't think we really talked about that, but it's funny because it's like, oh, that makes so much sense that mm-hmm. like, and I don't think that's where the story came from. It's not like a lot. I don't think it's a long game to get to Alexa versus Naya in any way, right. but like the fact that they were referencing it this past week on Raw to me was nice. It also, I mean, you know what, to give ourselves credit and anyone to give anyone credit who didn't think of the connection between Alexa and Naya, I may, in my mind, maybe WWE just thought of it too, because yeah. it wasn't referenced at all really at any point, but with the drama
you
between
mean before this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because in when Naya showed up in Alexa's playground, Naya referenced their history as friends. They used to be best friends. And Alexa was like, that's where you're mistaken. We were never friends. I was like, dang. And I just wondering because, yeah, because they were actually best friends in life, in real life. Yeah. You could see it on one of the seasons of Total Divas.
Yeah.
But they had a real life falling out. Like they had like a legit real life falling out when they were working. I think the last time they were working each other like 3 years ago wow. or something like that. Yeah, they had a real life falling out. So
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I did too. I literally forgot about it until they brought it up in the playground. So I wonder if I hope they're friends again, to be quite honest, because, you know, everybody needs their friends. And Alexa's, we said it last week, Alexa's pig just passed away. So, you yeah. know, hopefully they're friends again or whatever. But yeah, it was weird seeing them in the ring again together. And Alexa, I do like Alexa's wrestling style now. She's no longer wrestling like when she was kind of like with the Fiend and she was possessed, you mm-hmm. know, like when she was half possessed half the match and unpossessed the other
yeah.
match. She wasn't,
and then she
like,
was like invincible.
She wasn't selling.
Too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So now she's selling. She's selling, but she's also doing kind of like the weird Undertaker sit up. So it's still kind of mm-hmm. spooky. So I'm liking this. I mean, Nia Jax ended up accepting the match on behalf of Shayna Baszler. So I just want to see Alexa versus Shayna. Where it goes, hell if I know. But I said last week, I enjoyed Shayna just like kind of being out of her comfort zone and doing a little acting. So
acting. It's like she went to the acting academy and she worked on her craft. And she is going to win a Peabody award.
Do not alienate them.
I'm not alienating.
I'm just playing. Yeah. So I mean, for this one, I'm going to assume Alexa wins, right? Because she's a spooky character.
She's got that. She's, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
so.
I mean, but then again, sure, let's go with that.
Let's
because
with
like
that.
Even
yeah.
if I mean even this past week, like Alexa won, but by DQ, right?
So yeah.
they like to find, I remember talking about the Royal Rumble earlier this year, and we both kind of felt like Bianca, I don't remember, but we probably both thought Bianca was winning, but then it's like, what are they going to do with Alexa? Because they just debuted her as Invincible. And so they yeah. figured that out easily, but like,
which was pretty funny in the Rumble, actually.
Yeah. That she's mm-hmm. getting tossed out. But
yeah.
Yeah, let's, I think that that's what we're going to see. I don't know where the story is going. I do wonder. Oh no. Oh no. What? Mari, let me predict this. Let me predict this.
Oh God.
I just saw a flat. I saw a vision.
Oh,
so,
that's so Raven.
Yeah, that's so Raven. What if we get? Oh my God! What if we get Shayna entranced, but on Alexa's side, and then we get Shayna dressed like Lily with Alexa in a trance versus Reginald and Naya. Don't even worry about it. Don't, I don't okay. want it. I'm just like, it was a thing and I don't. Uh-huh.
It could go mm-hmm. that way in a sense, like she gets Reginald entranced and then maybe Reginald costs Shayna the match because
I do feel like someone is going to be possessed for a while.
Yeah,
I'm not sure who.
they included it in the match. So
I mean, it here. Also might be right. It actually, that would probably make more sense. I mean, maybe we'll get Reginald dressed up like Lily. Who knows?
Yeah. The reports are that Vince McMahon really liked Reginald. So this Reginald stuff is going to continue.
Vince like McMahon Reginald is strange. Too. Vince McMahon is a strange man. By the way, I'm just touching the picture I sent you of Vince Jacks. That man scares me. He's another one. Brock Lesnar. I mentioned New Jack, Samoa Joe, Vince McMahon. Four people I would never want to mess with. And yeah. Ooh, I'm concerned. I don't know how he gets those veiny forearms.
We don't know. We don't know. But yeah, so
there was a trial about something 30 years ago, but I don't really recall. Else on the Alexa, Shayna plus Nia, Reginald stuff?
Nothing for me. Yeah. I'm intrigued. Same. I am very intrigued. I am on the side of I'm still intrigued. Not as much as we were going into WrestleMania, where we were really high on Alexa and The Fiend, but I'm intrigued.
Better intrigued than entranced. I had to let everyone know.
There you go.
I hope that ends up on that random, like, out of context RHAP thing. Yeah, I don't know how that works.
They finally put me on RHAP out of context. For a minute there, I thought they didn't like me because I was never featured on there. So I finally got on there for our Cook Islands podcast.
Same.
Yeah. So maybe they like us now.
Yeah.
So finally, maybe it's just some speculation. The only other some matches that they could add to the card last minute, maybe Cesaro and Seth, because we were just talking about them with Bayley. Cesaro and Seth have been feuding for a while now, so I would love to add them just to the card to kind of fill this card out. And maybe again something with the Intercontinental Championship, because Apollo has been doing a great job versus like Big E and and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I would like for the Intercontinental Championship to be on there too. Any other women's matches maybe? No, probably not.
No. No, not definitely not. I don't think another women's match. But it is interesting. Yeah, we're going to definitely get some matches out of SmackDown this week, I'm sure, because like, when's the last time that we've had more women's matches on a pay-per-view card than men's matches? Like, we know we're getting more than five matches, right?
Right. It has to be. Yeah, exactly.
So we'll see. But I mean, I don't think it's like anything to write home about. You know, especially because we don't know yet, and the pay-per-view is coming up on Sunday.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. So we're done with our highlights of the week. All of the highlights we just talked about, you can find them on the bottom in our show notes, wherever you get your podcasts. So let's just go into our shoot segment. The shoot segment is anything unplanned, unscripted, or real life occurrences in wrestling, and anything that we just want to talk about for the week, basically.
Yeah, so, whatever gets us like red hot, you know, like all red everything. That's what it's all about.
Oh, God. Well, as Matt is alluding to, we are going to talk about Eva Marie's debut on Raw against Naomi. So
I'm very curious about your thoughts because I don't know your thoughts on this.
So the interesting thing about this to me is, so WWE knows what they're doing. Now, will this pay off for my faith? So I love Naomi, right? And so they announced, WWE announced like midday on Monday, that Eva Marie will be debuting against Naomi. And immediately, Naomi started trending. And so did Eva started trending on social media, because whenever Naomi does something, she starts trending. And WWE knows this.
Yeah.
Oh, you look like you wanted to say something.
No, I just think it's like a, we know. I don't want to. Yeah. It's just the patterns, and we.
Yeah.
So even you mentioning it, kind of sad.
So they started trending, and I know I was like, oh god, oh no, oh no, I do not want Naomi to lose to Eva Marie. People are saying I don't want to see Naomi job to Eva Marie. You know, this is some bull. Yeah. Naomi deserves better. Started popping up again. And of then course. The night of, we get Naomi coming out, all awesome, because Naomi is the best. And Eva Marie is announced. And along with Eva Marie, it was her mysterious friend. Now, if you go back and you listen to our last podcast, we talked about it. There was rumors that Piper, you heard Piper it here Nevin. First.
Yeah, I know. Yep.
It was announced that Piper Nevin might debut alongside of Eva Marie, and she did. They did not use Piper Nevin's name. They just kept saying, who is this mysterious person? Who is this mysterious person? Well, I mean, if you saw the Mae Young Classic, or if you've been watching NXT UK, you would know it's Piper Nevin. So,
That's the part. That was the...
Very
interesting. Why did they...
Well, yeah. They're saying they're workshopping her name. Like, from what the rumor is, they're not going to give her Piper.
It's like, is that Piper. Hard? Maybe call her Eva Marie.
Don't do that.
Then it would make sense.
Yeah. So right now she's just billed as Eva Marie's mystery friend. So Piper Nevin comes out. She gets into the ring. They ring the bell, which I'm like, who is like, who
did someone just, I mean, maybe look. Yeah. That.
Right. So Piper Nevin, is Piper Nevin versus Naomi. Naomi is clearly confused because she was told she was going to be wrestling Eva Marie. But Piper Nevin goes on to squash Naomi in like a minute. It was a squash match. Like Naomi was squashed and jobbed. So few things I don't like about this, right?
Tell us.
One of the main things is Naomi and Piper could have had a banger match. Like Piper can go, and Naomi can go. So like they both can get down in the ring. So them not having a proper match kind of sucks, but I get it. I'm assuming this is going to be long-term storytelling and we're going to get more of this later. Okay. Well, I know it's wrong to assume, but let me just keep going. Let me keep going for a minute here. Secondly, I don't like this because now you want me to not like Piper Nevin. I like Piper Nevin. I don't like that. Now I have to not like Piper Nevin because she is on Eva Marie's side. And this was used as a way to get cheap heat for Eva Marie. So annoying because I like Piper. So now I'm mad that I got to be mad, you know? But three, the biggest thing is like, WWE did this on purpose because, of course, after this happened, Naomi, again, was trending for hours on Twitter because every time Naomi sneezes, she trends because she is awesome. And WWE knows this. They know how loved she is. They know how she moves the needle when it comes to social media. And they're doing this to put Eva Marie over, which is fine. That's wrestling. I get that. But if you're going to do that, when is Naomi going to pay off from her own, being able to sell, being able to make waves. When is Naomi going to benefit from it? Because so far you've been having other people benefit from her being the talk of the town. You know what I'm saying? Because they did this with Lacey Evans as well. Remember, they, or should I say, they tried to do this with Lacey Evans as well.
They tried it.
You know? So they tried getting Lacey Evans to trend because Naomi was trending. So again, that's fine. That's literally wrestling. That's how it does. If somebody moves the needle, you should have them at least put spotlight on somebody else and put somebody else over. But if you're going to do that, at some point you should reward the person who is bringing eyes to the product. And it just feels like Naomi isn't getting rewarded. And when I say rewarded, I don't even need Naomi to be have a title. Like, Naomi is the type of talent that really does not need the title. I want Naomi to get a proper feud. Naomi has not had a proper like storyline feud in forever. Again, I'm going to reference Lacey Evans. That seems to be like the last time they really tried to give her a storyline. And basically that whole storyline was Lacey Evans, don't touch my hair, basically. And pseudo kind of like Lacey Evans towing the line. You know, how her character toes the line. So I want Naomi to get a storyline. She hasn't had a really great storyline since the whole, like, her getting the title and then having to vacate the title against Alexa and getting the title back. Like, I just want Naomi to have a storyline. And I just feel like if this is going to lead to, like, a longer storyline, I think I'd be okay with it. I mean, no matter what, Eva Marie is debuting. So it seems like Eva Marie is going to get the upper hand no matter what here. But at least it gives, if it gives Naomi, like, she has to like fight against these two. She has to, she's gotten these type of storylines before. But if it's Naomi on TV more, I guess I'm down with it. But damn, it's so annoying that she doesn't get the benefit from her own, like, herness.
Yeah, I don't think that this is a feud that we're gonna see going forward.
You don't
think that they get? I think we'll see the match. Like, I think we'll probably see this match happen again. Oh. But I don't think that we'll see it as a feud. And I just don't see WWE seeing Naomi like that. And then what's interesting is that, like, we even saw Lana get released too, and so
right.
I mean, clearly there was just something that they didn't love enough about. I mean, I don't know. I guess there are a lot of questions and I don't know the details and the behind the scenes and everything. But like, I would imagine that if they valued Naomi more and even Naomi's work with Lana more and their team, which was really growing on me, especially on social media with all their TikToks, by the way, it's like, I just don't know when they're going to see it. And it is kind of depressing, but it's also not surprising that WWE does that. And I think it's unfortunate because I know with Bianca Belair and with, I think also with Sasha, I just remember Naomi getting like a lot of shout outs for and getting a lot of credit for even where they have been as black women in the WWE, which I think is a big part of how we've seen Naomi treated. I mean, we've for years and years and years seen, you know, women with blonde hair, potentially blue eyes. I don't know what color their eyes are.
Oh, God.
Be highlighted and celebrated. And, I mean, it goes back to people who I think are just like, who almost like, as some people say, like transcend the medium, like Trish Stratus. But then you go after that and you have like Lacey Evans being highlighted. And it's just like, what are you thinking? You have Naomi and she sells merch, right? You know, people love Naomi and love her Feel the Glow stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because you would imagine that going back to these live events that you could heat that up again and there's merch associated with it. What are they going to sell? Eva Marie, like protein shakes or something? Like, I don't know, but I just kind of like don't get it.
Well, but see,
it's exhausting.
And that's the thing though, Matt. I don't think they don't get it. You know, they get it. They see it. They see that Naomi is marketable. They see it. They are just using it for other people. You know what I'm saying? Because think about it. They they use that. They knew that would get it trending. They knew people would watch, would tune in to watch that match. Like it will probably be, you know, Evil will probably attribute it, be like, oh, people wanted to see me, but no, people are there to see Naomi, and WWE knows that, because again, Naomi trended before Raw and all during it and after it. So they see it. They see it and they are using it, but they're not using it for her. That's just the difference.
I'll say that I for one am actually really interested in seeing Eva Marie's first like actual match mm-hmm. back, just because I'm very like, I think with a lot of people, I would imagine that they're curious about how she'll wrestle. Because it's like, I joked about this before, but like, I don't think we're, maybe we'll get some Eva Marie 5-star matches. Who knows? That maybe that's what they're going for. Maybe that's what they're just giving her time to build up to, this Kenny Omega level of performance. Yeah. In all seriousness, it's I still disagree in the sense of, I don't think they see it enough to like continue to, they're not doing things to contribute to Naomi's momentum, even though like you know, merch numbers might be, or like merchandise and like the kids showing up in the stands and loving Naomi and glowing, like that's the, you would think that they get that. And I think that they do see that, but I also just wish that they would like put more into like reigniting Naomi and kind of giving her a moment and making her the star that she really can be. She's been around so long and you know, we need to give us something more.
She's in the position that Sasha was, like, what?
That's a good comparison. 2018, and that's a hopeful comparison.
Like, she's making, they're having her make stars, or they're trying to get her to make stars, you know, and it's just unfortunate because she's the star right there too. So, I mean, I'm going to try and not be as doom and gloom, and I'm gonna say that I hope that this storyline goes more, because it I mean, Naomi has done this a lot. She has done the thing where she's facing up against two people and she has to find a partner and all of that, and and she's the baby face that's trying to overcome everything. So we'll see. If not, I just want her to go to SmackDown so she could be with the Usos and Roman Reigns.
We did.
Because, again, SmackDown needs women as well. So, Piper Nevin, I really hope, I'm interested to see where that kind of goes too, because they had her as a, it looked like she was like a weird obsessed friend with Eva. She's like, look at me, I did it, Eva. And she was like hugging her and stuff, which a lot of people didn't like. They're like, oh, why is she being presented like this? She should be just mean and foreboding. And again, I'm going to say it like you said, again, I don't really care for big people who are like, just, oh, I'm big, I'm mean, I'm, look at me, I'm intimidating. Like, I don't care about that.
I mean, there's a place for that, definitely.
I want to see where this goes. I want to see.
On a related note, and I didn't personally see a lot of this, but something I read, there was just like body shaming.
There was body shaming
toward Piper and just like all of, it's just rough. Like some people come in all shapes and sizes, and there's nothing wrong with Piper's body. And like going back to the Mae Young Classic, but like, she's just so capable and athletic. And I don't even have much to say about this, because I just feel like it's so blatantly ridiculous. Like the people who are commenting probably can't keep up with Piper in the gym or in the ring or anything. And it's, and I'm not saying anything about them and their bodies or anything, but because that has nothing to do with it. It's like, she's healthy, she's athletic. She would not be in the position she's in if she wasn't healthy. Mm-hmm. You know, healthy to a level where WWE would have her competing and everything else. And so I don't even want to entertain that, because it's so ridiculous. ridiculous. And, but
yes. And that's why I was pissed, because it opened her up to so much scrutiny. It opened her up to get heat from people. And that's so freaking annoying to me. And I agree with you.
There's
like,
no, excuse,
no matter how mad about, I'm mad I am about Naomi losing, I'm never going to talk about her competitors, her body size or anything like that. That was so uncalled for. And that pissed me off too. Cause I'm like, I didn't like all of it all around.
Because it's like we get someone, it's so frustrating. And I get that it's like a subsection of the fans who are doing it. Mm-hmm. If you could even call those people fans, who knows? But it's frustrating because those same people who I have no clue, but I would imagine that some of those same people who are complaining about her body size are also complaining about people being too thin, or they're the same people. I was listening to something where oh my gosh, this is a good thing to drop in and mention. This past week, I was listening to the podcast that I wish I remembered their new names, but the former Iconics, the former Billy Kay and Peyton Royce had, and they were talking about Peyton, Cassie's her name. Cassie was talking. Uh-huh. I think Cassie, I'm blanking on her last name, but Cassie Lee. Jessie McKay. Cassie Lee,
and then
Jessie McKay, I think.
Jessie McKay. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So the thing that came up is that Cassie was talking. Thank you so much, because I'm glad the new name is what we want to embrace, right?
Yeah.
But Cassie was talking about having eating disorder and eating disorder, if not different eating disorders. Talked about bulimia and just struggling with her weight, and then that was me listening to that last week, and then we had this happen, and it's just like, could we please not be horrible to women and
the women,
be horrible
to
people about their bodies and their physiques? Because the other thing I thought about was, like, years ago, there was one time where Brie Bella showed up, and it was like right after around the holidays, and like she did gain some weight, but people just dragged her and were attacking her and all that stuff. And it's like, what, like, why? Don't be horrible. Just be a good person. Be nice and value people beyond their looks. If you can, please just value people beyond what they look like and what their bodies are like. But
exactly.
I'm glad that we touched on that too, because there's a lot. We always manage to get some kind of issue in the hashtag body shaming is this week's thing. And I really hope that Piper, I hope that she knows how to navigate that and it's not hitting her too hard or anything.
Exactly.
Like that.
Yeah. Exactly. So, shout out to all the women performers, Eva Marie, Naomi, and Piper Nevin. Definitely know we're not talking to them. We're talking about creative. Exactly. Okay, so I mean, this was great, Matt. I mean, it's we do our preview show, we do our predictions, and then next week we will be back to normal. We will have a special guest. We'll bring some more levity to the highlights of the week, you know, get back into our rhythm for the second season. Again, we'll also be on Stereo live on Sunday, directly after the pay-per-view. So go and follow us on Stereo so you can get notified when we go live. If you're on Stereo when we're live, you can submit your own audio questions and you can be a part of the podcast. So please come hang out with us after Hell in a Cell on Stereo. Matt, what do you have going on this week?
That's a great question. So I mentioned this last week, but you could find me over on Post Show Recaps for a recap of Pride on FX, 6-part docuseries that should drop in the next couple of days. I'm actually recording that today. And the other thing that I'll mention, which I'm sure that people will see over the next couple of days, is something called Black Voices of RHAP. It was this idea that I mentioned and something that kind of I've been thinking about for a long time, which is just that so often people in general, or, you know, us as podcasters, we don't have the space
or we don't take the space, or however you want to phrase that, to share who we are, share our experiences. And we also don't have a lot of space as Black people to talk about what the representation we've seen looks like, to talk about what it's like to be a Black podcaster, because believe it or not, that is different. I mean, we're Black, and we have a show on RHAP, and you know, we are in, like, literally in the minority in that sense. And you know, I'm really proud of the fact that, like, 15 or 16 or 17 podcasters in some way, shape, or form are part of this Black Voices of RHAP, focused on the state of Black representation in reality TV and its podcast coverage. And that is coming out over the next day. And one thing I'll spoil is that there's a video from Mari right at the top of the episode.
Oh, so, at the top. Wow.
At the top. At the, well, I mean, at the top. At the top. And there, yeah, basically at the top of the episode. But if you want to hear from Mari and a bunch of the other incredible people who are part of that, definitely keep an eye out for that over the next couple of days on your RHA podcast feed and here on RHAP YouTube. Check that out. Yes. That's what I've got. Mari, what are you, what plugs, what are you up to? Anything you want to mention?
So we're back in the swing of things. We're going to be here every week at the Wrestling Wrap Up. Also, me and Matt will be on a post-show recaps theater with Josh Wiggler talking about Ready to Rumble. So you can catch us over there at post-show recaps. Other than that, no, that's about it. You know, we'll see. Maybe I'll pop up on some of your favorite podcasts in the next few weeks or so. But other than that, you can find me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two. Please, again, go rate, review, and subscribe to the Wrestling Wrap Ups podcast feed. And please email us. Send all your emails to wrestling@robhasawebsite.com. Matt, we're out. Where can people find you on social media?
That's us. At Matt Scotchy W. Hit me up on Twitter. And one thing I'll say, I have no clue what this will look like, but I'm pretty sure, because Mari, you like to show up on everything. Big Brother is coming up really soon.
Oh, so yes, it is. Yeah.
I have no clue how you're going to look. You always manage to do it on top of everything else. So definitely keep an eye out for us potentially doing some of that coverage, because I know there's no way we're not watching this upcoming Big Brother season.
Exactly. Well, it's US Big Brother. So, you know, if it goes true to form, then I'll be not compelled to watch it after a few weeks.
Yeah.
So, oh, yes. Man. So other than that, everybody, watch out for flying elbows. We'll see you next week.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.